your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. I am excited to hang out with you tonight. From miniature masterpieces to a moonlit Milwaukee event that you are not going to want to miss, I am very excited to share with you some interesting stories. In about 10 minutes, you're going to meet two bonsai experts ahead of Saturday's celebration, World Bonsai Day, at the Linden Sculpture Museum. And it's centuries-old Asian art meets living sculpture. Tiny trees with big stories, all for free on Saturday. And if it's a hobby that you've always been curious about, I have two friends who are going to tell you all about it, bonsai experts Eric Bromser and Rick Walters. You'll meet them in about 5 or 10 minutes. And it's a moon landing of a Milwaukee kind. The historic Third Ward just announced they are transforming Catalano Square into something magical, the Third Ward Moon Festival in August. And it's going to include a massive glowing moon art installation that has been seen around the world, and it was here in 2019. It is coming back. So you're going to get your personal invitation and all the details with Historic Third Ward Association Executive Director Jim Plaisted. He's going to be here at 6:35, and to get you in that lunar celebration mood, the song you need to hear is a moon-themed song. See if you can guess what it is. You'll hear that just before 7. And then after the 7 o'clock newscast, our city is going to turn into a big old playground, a scavenger hunt for hidden art and cash prizes. Gold Rush. It is put on by Visit Milwaukee and Map King. And you're going to meet the artists creating cheese-inspired sculptures to secretly stash all around the city for the next month. Adam Heimbach grew up in Delavan, and he has your invitation to the cheese swap tomorrow at lunchtime at the New Fashioned in Deer District, and details on how to get in on this Gold Rush scavenger hunt. And it's last call for Dinner with the Duchess, Next Act Theater's one-of-a-kind theater experience where dinner and drama collide, including cooking on stage. You will meet the directors of Dinner with the Duchess at 7:35. So art, music, nature, discovery, it's all happening right here. And we're talking about tiny trees with bonsai. Well, I want to wish a quick break a leg to storytelling performer Greg Marshall and his one-man show, Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees. It is tonight at 8 at Vivarium on the East Side. He was my guest last week on What's on Tap. Really nice man and a creative person. What's Greg's autobiographical improvisational show about?
It's a story about a young man who discovers that the most important story in his life is not his own. It's actually the ones that come from the most unexpected places and people. It's a mix of storytelling, improv music. I use a looping pedal, guitar, and my voice to create music, to score it. And, a lot of written songs, but also some freestyling that happens with the audience.
And that means every show is unique and different. He is Greg Marshall. Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees, a unique performance experience at Vivarium at 8 o'clock. And what makes this performance even more special is he has partnered with Stella's Playground. And you've probably heard about this. It's going to be Milwaukee's first universally accessible, inclusive playground, all inspired by Stella, who was a 9-year-old girl, but today is her 10th birthday. So this show is happening on Stella's 10th birthday, but she had some really serious health challenges, overcoming a cancerous brain tumor. And instead of that family going, oh no, we are absolutely devastated and can't do anything, instead they decided, Stella, it was one of the big things she missed while she was going through her treatment, was going to a playground. And so they're going to build Stella's Playground so that way everybody can play. And tonight is a partial fundraiser for Stella's Playground. So Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees tonight at 8 at Vivarium. And from popping out of trees to precariously, patiently pruning trees, you're going to meet two bonsai experts who share their passion for this ancient art and tell us their plans for Saturday's World Bonsai Day. Next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. And you've seen these teeny tiny fascinating trees called bonsai. A lot of people say bonsai. I think I learned that it's correctly bonsai. And I have two experts who will tell us all how to properly say bonsai and how to properly appreciate, and maybe even how to participate in bonsai. Please introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
My name is Eric, and I am currently the president of the Milwaukee Bonsai Foundation. And previously, I was the president of the Milwaukee Bonsai Society. Been involved with bonsai for...
How long? Oh, look at that. He's calculating. You're going to get the abacus out.
Successfully for about 10 years. Before that, it was I was a professional assassin.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we have to keep the secrets now. He is Eric Bromser. So, yes, it sounds like after being president of both the Milwaukee Bonsai Foundation and Milwaukee Bonsai Society, you know what you're talking about.
A little bit.
Okay. And then also in the studio with me, regale us with your accolades and introduce yourself.
My name is Rick Walters. I just at the end of this past year ended my 2-year term as the president of the Bonsai Society. I succeeded Eric in that capacity. We actually met each other about 10 years ago in a bonsai fundamentals class. And as we went around the room and introduced ourselves, that was when Eric said, "Hi, my name is Eric and I kill trees." Oh. And so I actually came to bonsai after about 25 years of raising antique English roses.
Oh.
So I am particularly drawn to trees that make flowers.
And you must have a streak in you that is very patient, number one, and also loves that attention to detail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I used to joke that I didn't do New Year's resolutions. I just did like self-help projects. And that I'd been working on patience for about 10 years and it wasn't going very well.
lot of us can relate to that, Rick.
But you do learn patience from bonsai. You learn about making little decisions now that will have consequences 3, 4, 5 years later for the tree. It's a very meditative kind of art to study. It can be very interesting philosophically. I've often said that I've learned as much about myself in the pursuit of bonsai as I've learned about horticulture.
And Eric, before I ask you, Rick, I want to, how did you really get into it the first time? Was it really one of your New Year's resolution self-help projects? Like, what was your very first experience with bonsai?
He's wearing the shirt.
This is the Miyagi-Do karate. You know.
But, you are representing. You've got the bonsai shirt on. But, tell me about Miyagi-Do.
You know, Mr. Miyagi karate is my spirit animal.
Ah.
Wax
on, wax off.
Coincidentally happened to say at a family dinner that I was curious about it and wanted to learn more about it. And my sister-in-law needed a Christmas gift idea, and so she gave me this nice volume on bonsai. And then... even without my knowing it, my wife signed me up for a class down in Chicago, and I fell in love with it. I just absolutely adored it.
Cool. And then, Eric, what's your journey with bonsai? Lean into the mic and tell us.
So it was a lot of people, you know, the Karate Kid, they saw those little trees, and I was just completely enamored by it, and I tried it.
Is that really the gateway for both of you, like Karate Kid being turned on to bonsai?
A lot of people, yeah.
I never really thought of that. No, but I love that. You know, just that... a major blockbuster film of the 1980s that was not focused on nature and art turned people on to this ancient art. Yeah. And that's really fascinating that was the gateway. Yeah. So then, you see it on Karate Kid.
Saw it on Karate Kid. And then every year we'd go to State Fair and I would see those trees and just, you know, be in awe of this beautiful living art. And then finally... one of the guys that was manning the booth, Jack Douthat. He's the guy. He actually started the Milwaukee Bonsai Society. He's the one who kickstarted the foundation. He's been a major force in bonsai for many, many years. He caught my ear, and I got all excited. My wife saw it on my face. She's like, "Okay, fine, you can join the club." So I took the beginner class I was offered, and just took off from there. And now I've got too many trees, according to my wife, but not enough.
How many trees do you have?
About 30 right now.
Where do they live in your home?
I've got a greenhouse, and I've got benches outside that I put them on during the warm months of the year, and then during the winter, just sit in a garage.
And Rick, do you have tree envy, or can you match that number?
Actually, 48 is my number. And I have a wonderful greenhouse behind the house that was a gift from my wife. And it stays warm during the winter because I have a thermostat and a couple of space heaters. The kinds of trees that I work with can't take a hard freeze, so it's usually at about 37, 38 degrees. And I am just right now in the process of cleaning up the trees and bringing them outside to go out on the front porch on the benches for the warm weather.
Wow. So I'm just fascinated. I love that you're both here sharing your passion for this really fascinating artwork. And Saturday is World Bonsai Day.
Yes.
So we're going to find out how you're both celebrating. We're continuing this conversation. Stay with me and bonsai experts Eric Bromser and Rick Walters. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And right now we are discovering the fascinating art of bonsai. And I have with me two bonsai experts and current and past presidents of the Milwaukee Bonsai Foundation and Milwaukee Bonsai Society. So you two are really very experienced. Eric Bromser and Rick Walters, thank you so much for sharing your experience so far with bonsai, but it doesn't sound like it's over.
Oh, no.
Tell us what you're doing on Saturday, which happens to be World Bonsai Day.
So at Linden Gardens in River Hills, that's where our permanent exhibit is that the foundation curates. One of our curator will actually be doing a demonstration on a Japanese bonsai tree on how to trim it and
Us how to do it on Saturday.
Yes.
Ooh.
So we got that going on. And then we also have Rick has put together an exhibit and some demonstrations at Berner Botanical Gardens. So if you want to talk about that
a bit. The Berner is actually where the Bonsai Society is domiciled. And we have monthly membership meetings every first Saturday. That's where we conduct our workshops and classes and so on. And we are putting on a display on Saturday that I think it's either 18 or 20 different trees of various species that will be in the atrium. It's free. It goes from 9 until about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. And I'm proud to say actually four of my own trees are going to be on display that are all flowering trees that will be in full bloom.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of exciting.
And Rick, have any of those trees won awards?
Good question, Eric.
Why, thank you. Yes.
That's friendship right there. He wants you to brag. I love this.
Yes. One of my Japanese varieties, the first year that I entered in the intermediate category in the annual exhibition, it did get awarded a first place ribbon by an internationally famous artist and judge. So on the other hand, what my friend is referring to is that several of my trees have received second place awards when a juniper that he has taken first place.
So. Oh, we're both bragging. That's nicely done.
But I'm going to the back door.
But I'm so pleased to know that this passion and this craft, we have that level of excellence in bonsai here in Milwaukee and a real passion for it. How big are the Milwaukee Bonsai Society and the Milwaukee Bonsai Foundation? Like, what's the membership like?
Well, the society has expanded dramatically over the course of the last 4 years. State Fair is a really big deal for us because we have a continuous exhibit that goes on through the entire period. And we actively recruit and sort of spread the word about what we're doing. And a lot of people sign up because of that. But in the last 4 years, we've gone from 80 or 90 dues-paying members to where we're approaching 300 now. We typically have 60 to 70 people at a monthly meeting.
That has to be heartwarming. And I feel like this is an art form where you're taking care of growing miniature trees in pots. And like you were saying earlier, Rick, that one of your decisions makes a difference 4 years later on how this miniature tree grows, that you want to trade those stories and the, ooh, don't trim that here or don't wire this that way. You know,
Yes,
to
exactly.
help people for yeah. success.
Yeah. Yeah, because in addition to that whole patience thing, you learn to really rethink, did you really want to cut that branch off? Because once it's gone, it's gone. You can always cut it off later, but if you make the mistake, it takes forever to correct it. And it's also frequently said that the only finished bonsai is one that's dead, because whether it's mine, his, yours, somebody else's in the future, that tree is a continuously evolving, growing work of organic art, of sculpture.
Yeah. And so at the permanent exhibit out at Linden Gardens, we've got a tree that's well over 200 years old. And it's
tiny, though.
It's a little bit bigger. It's not as small as some, but it's a pretty good-sized tree. But there's different ways that you can get to that. Like in Japan, they've got trees that are documented that have been in pots their entire life from a seed. And they've got paperwork to show.
You know, the pedigree, yeah.
Yeah, the pedigree, exactly. A lot of bonsai is collecting from nature. And that's how you get an older tree a lot faster. I'm giving away all our secrets now.
No, you're not, but you're inspiring people. I would say our time is running out, but I love chatting with both of you. And I know that there are other people who are like, I never knew that. And I'm curious to learn more. So, Eric, on Saturday, you're celebrating World Bonsai Day at the Linden Sculpture Garden. We'll find you there at the Bonsai Pavilion.
Yep.
And Rick, you'll be at Berner Botanical Gardens.
Yes.
And I get the impression that the two of you are happy to chat with anybody who's curious about bonsai.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if you can't make it to either of those locations, if you go to milwaukeebonsai.org, which is the Society's website, there's information about membership, how easy it is to sign up, about the workshops and classes and events that we sponsor and organize. And if I were to say one thing really quickly in closing, it's that it's a very supportive group of people, and they really want you to be successful if you join. So there's a lot of support, a lot of information that's shared, and a lot of encouragement. And it's incredibly rewarding once you get into it.
And it's only $35 a year.
Well, listen to you. But it's getting in touch with nature, and it's our creative community in a different way, and preserving this ancient Asian art form. So thanks for all that you're doing. He is Rick Welters. He is Eric Bromser.
Yep.
And thank you so much for being here. Happy World Bonsai Day to you.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Cool. And we're going to experience a Milwaukee moon landing. Find out after the WTMJ newscast. And now we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jessica Gatzo.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Getting you in a moon mood, because in Milwaukee, there's going to be a moon landing in the Third Ward in August. And here with your invitation to tell us all about it, Historic Third Ward Association Executive Director Jim Plaisted is my guest. How are you, Jim?
Good, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about what you have planned. Is it the first weekend of August?
It is the second weekend of August, 7th through the 9th, Friday to Sunday. And what we are doing, first of all, is celebrating our 50th anniversary as the Historic Third Ward Association.
Congratulations. That's a golden anniversary. Wow.
We were formed in 1976. The interesting short legend of it is the city of Milwaukee and an alderman long gone were going to make the Third Ward a red light district, put all the nightclubs down there, put the strip clubs down there, because all the vertical manufacturing businesses were leaving, the buildings were becoming vacant. And a collective group of property owners and businesses said, wait a minute. And lo and behold, 50 years later, or as Ian Apston once said, the Third Ward is an overnight success, 50 years in the making. So here we are.
It's fun to watch it evolve.
Right.
I've lived here off and on since the turn of the century, but since the 90s, and to have seen that area and going to the Summerfest in the 90s and going, oh, look at these cool buildings, but there's not much happening here, and then have it continue to evolve and continue to evolve. And I just had some friends from Chicago come in a couple of weekends ago, and they said, I want to stay in a neighborhood where there's good dining, I want to stay at a boutique hotel. I want to be able to walk and eat. And I was like, I know exactly where you need to stay.
Yeah.
Third Ward. And they had a great time at the Journeyman.
Awesome. Yeah.
And, so it was just like, it made my heart happy because then they went, oh, Anesto was great. And Cafe Benelux. And we shopped here. And then we walked down the Riverwalk. And
the art galleries, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're celebrating all that. But this was really, that was the vision of the founders, if you will, of the association. And then the Business Improvement District formed 10 years later. And then that begat the market and begat all the neighborhood redevelopment and the Architectural Review Board that preserved the architecture of the neighborhoods. Anyway, so that's what we're celebrating. And when my team and board were looking at ways to celebrate this year, we had all types of ideas, making our existing events a little bit bigger and a little bit brighter.
Oh, so yeah, because you want to go big.
But then we were like, how do we go big? And many of us remember 2019 and our friends at Black Box Fund, now Joy Engine, Deb Kern, Doug McDonald, who bought the moon, and we co-produced that event with them and had a blast hosting it with them. And we thought, why not bring it back?
Because
it's kind of a one-time thing. You don't bring this back every year.
Right.
But it's a one-time thing. And the interesting thing when we started researching, so this is a piece by Luke Jeremy. He's a British artist. It's a 23-foot diameter inflatable moon skinned by high-definition photography from NASA. Not recently, not the Artemis flights, but NASA missions. And it is absolutely stunning in person. And so we're going to hang it at Kanalano Square over the fountain.
It was magnificent last time because Jim, funny because it was 2018 or 2019. Mm-hmm. I had been to London summer of 2018 and seen this artwork at the London Natural History Museum.
Interesting.
And spent all this time. It was fascinated, walked under it and watched all the craters. And I was just soaking up that experience in London because I'm like, I may not never get to do this again.
Right.
So then the next summer when it's suspended over Catalano Square and just this like a huge chandelier, you can't touch it, but you can get close to it and you can get your photo with it. But there's enough space underneath that there were these great performances. 1913 played underneath the moon.
Yep.
Water Street Dance had incredible performances.
Yeah, you remember a lot.
It was that impactful of a festival. I was just blown away by the big block party and this wonderful, fascinating, scientifically accurate artwork of the moon.
Yeah. So we're excited to bring it back. And this is going to be our signature event for the summer. And what we're doing is not only celebrating Luke's work and all the themes that come with that moon and what it means to many cultures and what it can mean from a theme standpoint. Of music.
And the reinvigorated enthusiasm with the Artemis.
Right. But it's really about our 50th anniversary. So we're going to have a lot of Third Ward participants, whether it's the ballet, Skylight Theater, local Third Ward artists coming out to the street to do quick paints or chalk art or things like that. So it's going to be, and then just in general, another theme of coming down is you can visit the moon and afterwards you've got this fantastic neighborhood we just talked about that you can spend several hours in doing a lot of different things. So we're really excited that this is coming back and working with Luke's team in England to get it over here. Now the fun part starts, now that we announced it, right?
Yeah. Well, and also I was talking about the Tony Award nominations yesterday and all the Wisconsin connections, and we have several of our theater leaders in New York right now, like Skylight Music Theater's artistic director, Michael Unger, is there right now. He called in and he's with some of the nominees because he knows them. But not only is he bringing back that New York energy fresh from Broadway, all of those people in New York are learning, oh, Milwaukee's really a player. And Mark Clements of Milwaukee Rep, he's in New York right now. And the renovation's there to make sure that we have a big enough stage that Broadway shows could preview here in Milwaukee.
Right. So, no, they do a fantastic
job.
So
you in your way, in working with an international artist, he's going, oh, and in the Midwest, it has to be a stop.
Right.
And it has to be in Milwaukee.
And we did our research before reaching back out to Luke for this installation. And it's actually surprising how little it's been in the States, this particular piece of art called Museum of the Moon. It has not been here much, and it has not been in the Midwest except for Chicago maybe a few years ago and then Milwaukee in 2019. So we're excited about really promoting and getting people in their cars and on the train and maybe in a plane to come and see this from Chicago, Green Bay, Madison.
Yeah.
So we're going to go regionally.
Take a trip to the moon.
Yeah.
Literally.
Because it's worth the trip. And so, stay for the weekend, come and enjoy the moon, enjoy the Third Ward, enjoy downtown Milwaukee.
Third Ward Moon Festival, you're hearing it first, just announced a 3-day open-air cultural experience August 7, 8, and 9. Now, Jim, that's not all you have planned. So when we come back, you have other spring and summer activities and events planned in the Third Ward for everyone to enjoy. So
yes,
we'll
find
out some of those other fun listings next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
You are hearing it here first on What's on Tap, your personal invitation to the Third Ward Moon Festival, August 7th, 8th, and 9th, where Museum of the Moon will be here in person, and executive director of...
Quick last note about the moon, because I know we're going to move on to other things. It is only in five places in the world this year.
Really?
Ontario, Canada, Florida, I think somewhere at the NASA complex, Britain, Germany, and Dubai.
And Milwaukee.
And Milwaukee. Sorry, six.
Five
others, but six total.
He knows his stuff. He's Jim Plaisted, executive director of the historic Third Ward Association, celebrating their 50th year. And they went, we're going to do it big.
Yep.
And if you were there in 2019, you remember what a truly magical block party festival it was to have Museum of the Moon, which is, how large is it?
23-foot in diameter.
23-foot diameter, exact replica of the moon, yes, based on the photography we have. By Luc Jerram.
Yep.
I want to make it French. He's English. But Luc Jerram, and it's hypnotic. Like, you might go, oh yeah, it's a big moon, but it really does create a magic over the space of Catalano Square, and you're going to have artful performances and lots of creativity happening. So circle your calendar for August 7th, 8th, and 9th for the Third Ward Moon Festival. But before you leave, let us know what else is going on in Third Ward, because it's not like, okay, we're saving everything up for just one event.
No, we've got another new event.
Yeah.
Basically a shopping and destination of, you know, retail and public facing businesses called Shop, Sip, and Savor. It's on May 30th and 31st. So we have upwards of 40 participants. If you go to our website, historicthirdward.org, spell out third, you'll have all the details of that festival. It's all day, Saturday and Sunday. And then we've got some spot activations out on the street, whether it's music, a bookmobile, things like that. So it's a new event. We're kicking it off. We hope it becomes annual. But again, with the 50th, we wanted some more activities and excitement. And this is really about the retailers, the restaurants, the galleries that are, that make the Third Ward so vibrant. So come down and check all those out.
Yeah, and it makes it great for the whole neighborhood. I think we think of a business district, but there are so many more condos and apartments that are down in the Third Ward now.
Right. We think we're up to 3,500 roughly residents.
That's
after the several new ones that were built in the last couple of
years.
That's
grown a lot. And then, of course, Third Ward, very well known for the seasonal gallery nights.
Yes, that's coming up July 17th and 18th, and we do that in partnership with other downtown stakeholders. We're upwards of 60 participants now on average. Last July, we had 80. So, make sure you follow that website, Gallery Night, MKE.com. And again, we'll have everywhere from the east side, downtown, east town, west town, Walker's Point, to even points farther than that. Have over a lot of participants, and we're excited to, again, bring that event back.
Well, thank you for all that you do to make sure that art is part of all the fun that happens in the historic Third Ward and encouraging the creative culture and economy.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for inviting me in to come and talk about it.
He is Jim Plaisted, Executive Director of the Historic Third Ward Association, and you will see him, if not before then, staring at the moon.
I will be there after hours as well, because it's stunning at night.
Sure.
Just stunning at night.
Third Ward Moon Festival, August 7th, 8th, and 9th, and keep up at the Historic Third Ward website. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Sandy.
And we're going to keep it in that moon mood, Jim. The song you need to hear is a moon song. So everybody can kind of guess. I will surprise you with that moon-themed song next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
Milwaukee is going to glow with a moon glow. August 7th, 8th, and 9th, the historic Third Ward hosting the Third Ward Moon Festival with a literal huge 20-foot in diameter moon artwork hanging over Catalano Square. It's going to be fun. And if you're already picturing yourself there, like, oh, that'll be nice, an August night in the city, enjoying the moon, maybe doing some dancing, Oh, did I do some fun research trying to pick the right song for the song you need to hear. This is your soundtrack from the summer of 1972. Dancing in the Moonlight, King Harvest, the song you need to hear on What's on Tap.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. I am Sandy Max, and if you like cash, if you like cheese, if you love Milwaukee or you just haven't been around all of the city lately, have we got something for you. In the studio with me from Visit Milwaukee is Julia Meehan. Hi, Julia.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You're going to clue us into this. And also in the studio, I'm very excited. Lean on in. Artist Adam Heimbach.
That's right. Happy to be here.
Did I say it right?
Absolutely.
You were on pins and needles wondering how I was going to say it.
You know, we're in Wisconsin, so I figure we can pronounce a German last name.
Achtung. Indeed. Welcome back. So as an artist, you are a Wisconsin-born artist or grew up here? What's your Wisconsin connection?
Grew up. Born in the suburbs of Chicago and then grew up and spent my youth in Dullivan, Wisconsin, the 19th century circus capital of the nation.
Dropping the knowledge.
Yeah.
How do you think that shaped you and your creativity?
You know, it's part of the razzle dazzle and the spectacle. I feel like it's in my blood. So it definitely plays out in my art practice.
And then when did you leave the fine state of Wisconsin and go out into the world?
Early 2000s, moved back to Chicago, then to New York. 15 years in the Big Apple. And then I recently came back, 2025, to Dullivan, and I split my time between East Coast and Midwest.
Still there? Still splitting?
Got one foot there. I got a lot of projects going on, a lot of art pieces happening. So,
yeah. Any particular reason without prying, but like that called you back home after almost 20 years?
You know, family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fast pace of the big city, but there's something about the motion of the Midwest and my feet in the ground that I grew up on, that it's like a big come to home moment.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
Yeah.
And Adam Heimbach, you are going to put a heck of a creative spin on the gold rush scavenger hunt that Visit Milwaukee has, I'll use the word, concocted.
Yeah.
This is a different idea than what we've heard. Because, okay, somebody's going to go, yeah, scavenger hunt. Oh, no. Julia, tell us about the kickoff event for Friday, which will be the gateway to the rest of the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, so we teamed up with Adam here, of course, the artist, the magician, mind of it all behind, but then also teamed up with Map King, and we're kicking it off with a cheese swap at the New Fashioned.
Not to be confused with a meat raffle, this is a cheese swap.
Yeah, so bring a block, please have it packaged, don't.
No homemade cheese.
No,
this is really
cheese.
Yeah, this is safe
this
cheese.
This is safe cheese in a package.
Sure.
And we're going to swap amongst each other. So, you know, you might bring some Gouda and come home with maybe string cheese. I don't know, whoever whatever cheese
you
want to bring.
String cheese. But what a fun
Parmesan.
Way and a silly way to get a joyous, playful way to get
yes.
people together
excited.
At lunchtime on Friday. Deer District, the New Fashion, show up with a wedge or a block, or like you said, some string cheese. Just don't be shocked if nobody wants to trade you for the string cheese.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like you should embrace some Wisconsin cheese. So that's an hour of a cheese swap, but what else is happening at the cheese swap?
Yeah, so New Fashion will also be serving up some grilled cheese. We're definitely leaning into the whole cheese theme
sure.
of it all. And then you'll get to listen to Adam Heimbach. He's going to, you know, give some insight into the whole Milwaukee Gold Rush. And then Josh Albrecht as well from Visit Milwaukee will be speaking. And then we're going to kick off the Gold Rush.
Because it is happening right now. You can register online at visitmilwaukee.org
because
there are virtual
yes.
scavenger hunts.
Yeah, so it's map.visitmke.org. So sign up there, and that's where our digital map lives, and that is the place where you can find out some cryptic clues.
Now, Adam, before I get into the art, because you have brought some with you, I am wildly excited. If you text the word watch to the Sighting Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620, text watch to 855-616-1620, you're going to be one of the very first people to see Adam's art creations or some, are you... You're saying yes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. You shook your head for a second. I was like, no, I thought you brought these groovy boxes. So text watch to 855-616-1620, and you'll be the first to see on our YouTube live stream Adam's special creations for the gold rush. But before we get to that, I just want to make sure, Julia, there's cash involved in this.
Yeah, so there's going to be 30 hunts total starting Friday. You know, it's going to kick it off. And building up to a grand finale on what better day than National Cheese Day on June 4th.
Ah!
Yeah, so there's going to be $21,000+ in total prizes.
That's
free to play.
See?
And you're going to have possibility of cash in the end. So, like, what's there to lose?
It sounds
nothing
like...
but your own dignity, I feel like, if anything.
It sounds like a lot of fun. So what's the website again? Map.
Map.visitmke.org.
Perfect. So stay with us, because when we come back, Adam Heimbach is going to do some reveal of the special artwork that he has created. Because not only can you run around the city, you can find sculptures, and these sculptures you can either keep or trade. Oh, there's so many layers to the Visit Milwaukee Gold Rush Scavenger Hunt. I'm very excited. Stay with us. Adam Heimbach, artist, and Julia Meehan from Visit Milwaukee. We are here to excite you. Next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, where Visit Milwaukee has come up with a super fun game to play, the Gold Rush Scavenger Hunt. And it will help you get to know Milwaukee better. You'll get to use the digital map, Map King.
Yes.
Julia Meehan from Visit Milwaukee is with me, and the artist that they have brought back to Wisconsin, Adam Heimbach, to create an artful angle to the Gold Rush, which, to refresh everybody, kicks off on Friday with...
Yes, at the New Fashion, 11 a.m. Friday. Everyone's like, why at that hour? It's lunch hour. Why not? Get some grilled cheeses. Bring some cheese. Swap some cheese. Just lean into the cheese of it all.
Exactly.
And then the 30 hunts total kick off. And, you know, using Map King and map.visitmke.org, you'll get to find the sculptures that are all hidden across the city and get yourself out there to explore downtown.
I feel like these scavenger hunts are a bit Amazing Race-ish.
Yes.
So you're going to have clues and riddles to help you get to whatever the location is to find. Yeah. Then what do you find when you get there?
Right.
Well, ta-da. Adam Heimbach, fine art. That's what you find.
Show us some of this fine art that you have created.
So I'm mostly known for my very elaborate, bright colored landscape paintings and performance art. But for this event, this conceptual masterpiece, I made my first ever sculptures, and they are realistic depictions of what Wisconsin's famous for.
Cheese.
Okay.
Blocks of cheese.
Fine art.
Cheddar.
Sculptures. Cheddar cheese.
That is the official cheddar gold, I would say. Everyone knows this.
Yeah, so these will be hidden throughout the city, and you get a choice when you find it. If you're one of the lucky few that find the sculpture, you get a choice. You can keep the sculpture and be a collector of Adam Heimbach art.
Yeah.
Or you can destroy the sculpture and see how much money is inside.
Moolah.
Now, you see this sculpture. It is a very realistic-looking block of cheese represented. If you haven't already done so, text the word watch to the Sighting Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. You can see these sculptures. Yes. But I would say they look like bricks of cheese. What are they made of that one would either destroy to see if there's cash inside or keep as a true collectible of Adam Heimbach art?
Italian marble.
No, they're not. I can see you're not straining to lift that. What?
Bro,
I'm pretty strong. These are, you know, made from archival materials cardboard and paper mache, but everyone is signed and dated. So
I see that.
Yeah, you know, they go on eBay for quite a bit. There is, so that conversation between what do you do? That's intriguing to me as an artist, as a person. What do you do? Do you keep it? Do you hold on to it for the hopes of selling it one day? Or just to be a collector? Or do you destroy it? And it could be a lot of money, could be a little money, but it's just the thrill of the chase.
Now, you must know what's inside each one. So... That's going to be funny to watch you watch people like, oh yeah. I think you want to break this one open or not. Are there any sculptures of yours that don't have anything inside?
TBD.
That's, you know, that's the whole thing. Each sculpture may or may not be filled with cash.
It's a game within a game.
And there's going to be no addresses, no names given out. It's all clues and riddles, and you got to race to be the first to find it.
Yeah, it's about getting out and active and forming community and, you know, all these fun things that are important.
And keeping your eyes open and observing parts of the city that maybe you hadn't really paid attention to before. If you're trying to look to see if there's a bright orange sculpture of a brick of cheese lodged between Franz Fonz's feet, you know, like where are you going to find? Who is responsible for hiding these? Oh, no. Well, that way it can't be that obvious. You can't just have them sitting out, or can you? See, that's just it. When you come up with a fun game like this, there kind of are no rules. So
no rules. That's right. In art or life.
That is very words of wisdom from Wisconsin grown artist Adam Heimbach. Now back at least part-time in Wisconsin to bring this kind of joy. And one more quick question for you. You said this is your first sculpture. So was it as satisfying as you wanted it to be as a sculptural project? Will you do more sculptures?
I will do more sculptures, but I will say this, that I made these with the expectation that they will be destroyed. I would love if people will play the hunt and decide to keep it, but I know the color of money, and it's green, and it's inside this cheddar block, so it's meant to be destroyed.
Adam Heimbach, artist of these wonderful wedges of cheese that is part of Gold Rush Scavenger Hunt from Visit Milwaukee, kicks off Friday at the New Fashioned in Deer District. And Julia, what is the right website for people to register right now to get in on the fun?
Yeah, map.visitmke.org.
Thank you so much for spreading the joy.
Thank you.
This is a lot of fun. And Adam, I look forward to having you back once the gold rush is over to see how you, what your impression is of the results and if maybe people destroying your art made you sad. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. Get in on one of the most creative activities of the year, kicking off tomorrow, 11 a.m. at the New Fashioned in Deer District. Nom nom on cheese during the social swap and then start following the scavenger hunt clues. Could get some cash. From lunch with cheese tomorrow, dinner with the Duchess this weekend. It's coming up on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. Dinner with the Duchess this weekend is a play at Next Act Theater. It is closing, and one of the most unique things about this drama, wonderfully acted, but there is actually cooking on stage because it's Dinner with the Duchess, and it's all in real time, which I find that to be a fascinating aspect of this performance. And you're going to meet the directors. Instead of a cast party, had a director's party. So get to know behind the scenes of Dinner with the Duchess, what this play is about and what it takes to make it come to life at Next Act Theater. But I also know what's happening. Could be a good Mother's Day idea. Go to Dinner with the Duchess and your mom at Next Act Theater. Some other Mother's Day weekend ideas that if you're looking for something fun to do, especially kind of getting back to nature, there are quite a few events. The Garden District is having their Spring Perennial Exchange on Saturday from 10 until noon, and what you do is you bring your perennials, your bulbs, your seeds, even if you have garden tools or garden decor, you can bring it and swap it with fellow gardeners. And if you are going to take your plants, they ask to label them, the name, the height, and the color, so that way you can trade it easily. But the cool thing is they'll even gift wrap your plant if you want to swap something for mom. So that's in the Garden District Community Garden on Saturday from 10 till noon. And you can also get around the plants at Linden Sculpture Garden because Saturday is World Bonsai Day. And you can get in for free at Linden Sculpture Garden and enjoy bonsai. There's also going to be lots of flowers at Berner Botanical Garden. They have their spring floral show called Bees, focusing on native Wisconsin bees and those pollinators, and they will also have bonsai at Berner Botanical Garden on Saturday for World Bonsai Day. And then even better, told you that you can lean into the plants. How about Mother's Day Plant Bingo Bonanza? It's in South Milwaukee at Parkway Floral, and it's a couple hours. I like this. You start at 11 on Sunday decorating a pot you can take home with refreshments and social time. And then at noon is when 12 rounds of plant-themed bingo starts. And they have special bingo cards with plants and plant care. So the cool thing is you have a lot of fun. You get to take home your clay pot that you have decorated. And proceeds from the plant bingo bonanza go to Marm Farm to support sustainability and community food systems. And you've also got lots of farmers markets that you can stroll with mom on Saturday and shop local and maybe treat her to a fresh bouquet of flowers or plant to grow there. Farmers markets you can find on Saturday. Be the first Racine Farmers Market on the lake at Festival Park on Saturday. You'll also find farmers markets in West Dallas, Brookfield, Oak Creeks, Drexeltown Square, Germantown. Lots of farmers markets to stroll. And then also more freebies on Mother's Day itself at Sunday, Milwaukee County Zoo. Moms get in free for the day. And at the Milwaukee Public Museum, free admission for mothers and mother figures. And then you can include the Rainforest and Butterflies Greatest Hits exhibit at the Milwaukee Public Museum before they move to their new location next year. And my last Mother's Day suggestion, if your mom's a Brewers fan, Milwaukee Brewers game on Sunday at 110 at American Family Field. And it's a Yankees game. And if you get there, the first 10,000 fans get a picnic blanket, and I think they'll get out the pink bats. So between picnic blankets and pink bats, Brewers game could be a lot of fun on Sunday at American Family Field. And if you can't get to the game, you know you can hear it right here on WTMJ. Dinner with the Duchess and the Directors is coming up. But right now we turn to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jessica Gatzo.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Violin sounds. It's not a musical, but it is something that you will hear at Dinner with the Duchess. A U.S. premiere right here in Milwaukee at Next Act Theater, April 22nd through May 17th. So you are getting an early preview of what Dinner with the Duchess is about from two people who know very well. I usually have a cast party. Instead, I have a director's party tonight. And from Next Act Theater, please introduce yourselves.
I'm Samantha Martinson, and I'm directing the production.
And I'm Laura Closer, and I'm the assistant director.
So the two of you making the team to bring Dinner with the Duchess to life. What is the plot of Dinner with the Duchess?
Okay, I'll try and be as succinct as possible. But it is a story of a violin virtuoso who is retiring, and she is being interviewed for the last time, and a young journalist comes to interview her. And I think that their perspectives on the world and the industry at large come into collision with one another in conversation, and the themes around art, legacy, and who has the right to tell your story.
I didn't even think of that angle, because I think legacy, as we all get older, it's like, oh, and kind of the meaning of life and what is it all meant and have I put my energies and love in the right places, like those things. But I hadn't thought of that aspect of it.
Yeah.
How did each of you come to discover Dinner with the Duchess?
Well, I can tell the origin story of the play, sure.
Please do,
and then you can tell how you got involved with the production because it's cool as well. I directed a stage reading of another one of Nick Green's pieces, who's the playwright, and I really liked his work. And I honestly just emailed him because I saw that this was being produced in Canada and I couldn't find the script anywhere. And I had been in touch with him previously because of this other work, and dropped him a line and said, hey, I can't find your play. I would pay you. I just can't find it. And he was like, I haven't published it yet. Would you like to read it? And he sent it along to me, and I Read it and immediately thought of Laura Gordon. I sent it to her, and the rest kind of fell into place.
What is it about Nick Green's writing that speaks to you so specifically that you would reach out to him and say, I'm aching to read this play?
Oh, man. I think that Nick Green does an incredible job of sprinkling in breadcrumbs, right? He's a really intelligent writer that information is being presented, and he's incredibly nuanced in the way that the world works, and he has a really clear understanding of how complex humans can be and how you can hold multiple emotions and experiences together at the same time, and that two things can be true and you can feel conflicted about that and still say something completely different. And I think that is just like an absolute representation of what it means to be human. And the writing is, every time I read it and every time we hear it, there's always something more that you discover. And I think that that is something really special. But what do you like about Nick Green's writing? I'm so curious.
Oh, my goodness. To backtrack to like how I got involved with it.
Yeah.
I found out about this opportunity through a program called the Wisconsin Directors Lab, and Next Act put out this posting for an assistant director position, and I applied, and I believe I interviewed before I read the play.
Yeah, you did.
So we did the interview, and we had a great conversation, and then I actually got to read the script, and I was just taken with how nuanced the writing is and also how real. And what the characters, throughout the characters say, and also what they don't say.
Mm-hmm.
We have some characters who keep their cards pretty close to their chest for most of the play.
Yeah, and we actually have Margaret's husband is present in the show. So it's really a focus on these two women, but he's there and he's around and he doesn't talk a lot, but you can see a lot, which I think is really cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nonverbal communication, as you know, in acting can be very powerful.
Yeah.
I am with director Samantha Martinson and assistant director Laura Closer. And we are talking about dinner with the Duchess because I get the impression it's more about the occasion of bringing these people together. So we will dig deeper into a preview of Dinner with the Duchess at Next Act Theater and what it means to be directing this show, because it's different than performing this show and knowing the script so well. So we'll be back with more about Dinner with the Duchess next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Dinner with the Duchess. The Duchess happens to be a virtuoso violinist in this play. Next Act Theater has the U.S. premiere of Dinner with the Duchess by Nick Green through May 17th, giving you advance notice and a special exclusive preview tonight with the director, she is Samantha Martinson, and the assistant director, Laura Closer. Now, why does it take an assistant director and a director to put on a play? This is the business side of things that night.
Great question. Yeah. I mean, I've been an assistant director and I have, and I've also been a director. And I think I find an assistant director really instrumental and being an assistant, being able to, be another set of eyes, being a soundboard, being, someone who can see the vision of where the play is wanting to go and how to shape and form that. And I think as a director, I am always here for feedback and hearing what Laura is seeing in the room that I might not be seeing. And so I think it's really fantastic to have someone sitting at your side that is on your team that you can connect with, because directing can be kind of a lonely job. So that's my take. But how do you feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there's like two parts of assistant directing, which is one, I'm learning from the director, since I'm a very early career director, being able to observe a director with more experience than I do is really valuable. And then also being able to contribute my own thoughts and ideas and looking through my observations at the end of the day and sharing them with Samantha. I love being able to hear things that I saw that maybe she didn't see, but also things that she's seeing that I didn't pick up on. I love that collaboration.
I would say, I think when just simply the word director makes me not think of, oh, collaboration. So to know that there's collaboration on this level of leading the vision of the show, supplementing the collaboration that's on stage.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting, you know, ecosystem of the production where it's a directing team. So yeah. Who is on stage for Dinner with the Duchess? How big is the cast?
The cast is the size of three. So it's a really intimate, it's an intimate production. So we have Laura Gordon is starring as Margaret. And then we have Andrew May, who is returning to Milwaukee. I think it's after 20 years now. Yeah. So don't quote me. Sorry, Andrew, if I'm wrong. But he was here and worked at Milwaukee Rep way back in the day. And Laura and Andrew worked together back then. And so they're reprising stage time together, which I think is lovely.
And yeah, what a great reunion.
I know. It's really lovely. For their chemistry is fantastic. You know, it's so incredible.
I say for them, but also for longtime theater lovers, because yes, Laura Gordon is just stellar. So beloved and such a longtime fixture.
Yeah.
I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
Like a chandelier, you know, but in
glistening for all of us to admire. And so Andrew is playing her husband, David. And then we have a California actress, Mai Abe. And Mai is in town for this role. And this is her Wisconsin premiere, as well as I think Midwest. I don't know if she's ventured to the Midwest, she has taken full advantage of Milwaukee in all its beauty and glory. And I think that's fantastic. She's fitting right in. So Mai is the young journalist, Helen.
So the plot is it's a dinner with the violin virtuoso. She's giving an interview to the young journalist.
Yes. The young journalist is interviewing her. It's her final interview, announcing her retirement. And Margaret and David have offered to serve dinner over this discussion. And so they eat a meal as they're conversing and the night unfolds. That's all I want to tell you.
Exactly. No spoilers. Yet I do have other questions. You are getting an exclusive preview of the U.S. premiere of Dinner with the Duchess at Next Act Theater through May 17th at Next Act Theater. And we will discuss more with our director's party with Samantha Martinson and Laura Closer here on What's on Tap. Stay with us.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Music to get you in the mood for Dinner with the Duchess. So that way, the next time you hear some violin music, you'll go, oh, you know what? I want to see that show at Next Act Theater there on Water Street. And you're getting an exclusive preview with the director, Samantha Martinson, and the assistant director, Laura Closer, bringing us the country's premiere of Dinner with the Duchess. Because, Samantha, you were so taken by the script and compelled to bring it here to Milwaukee. So thank you for letting Milwaukee audiences be the very first to see this show. So you've described that it's about a very accomplished violin player, a virtuoso, giving her last interview at dinner with the Duchess. Her husband's there, so you've got the trio. What makes this show different in addition to the dialogue that you're so drawn to?
Yeah, I think one of the really cool parts about this play is that it's in real time, meaning that like from the moment she answers the door and brings the interviewer in through the end of the play, there is no intermission. And the food is cooked on stage and they are eating real food on stage and having this conversation.
That's an essential experience. And it's something else to have to direct, the timing and the blocking. And
yes.
When do you put the steaks on and when do you pour the wine?
I was just timing that the other day. I was like, how much time does he have to heat up the pasta? It's not very long.
10 minutes and 40 seconds, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But they essentially order fancy Italian takeout and then he spices it up a little bit. And so he reheats it and adds all his little like flavors to it.
But that is a very unique angle because it's usually part of the imagination of what you're serving, what you're sipping. That is a different angle. What is one thing that each of you have learned from the show so far as you've directed and co-directed and assistant directed?
This show has really been making me think about what it means to be an artist and live the life of an artist, especially as a woman in the arts, and what you gain and also what you might have to sacrifice in order to prioritize your art. So it's been giving me a lot of big questions to think about as someone who's just starting my career.
I feel like I continue to learn every time I'm directing. And so one of the things that I feel very blessed and fortunate to be able to do is be in the room with such incredible actors who continue to challenge and unpack and unearth parts of this story that I didn't even think were possible. And so I think I'm always learning that that theater is truly better when everyone is collaborating. And not that I didn't know that, but to be able to witness and experience it just reinvigorates you to love it and to want to do it more.
I'm glad that you're bringing Nick Green's play here specifically, that it spoke to you so much that you reached out to him and you got it. And you were happy with what you got. It lived up to what you thought it would be.
And I think that Next Act is a perfect theater space for it. I think that it fits the ethos and vision of Next Act. And it is a wonderful space to be able to tell this story in a thrust, having the audience encompass this dining space. So it's really, you feel like you're right there in the room with them.
Dinner with the Duchess through May 17th at Next Act Theater. The best way to find out more
is to go to nextact.org, where you can purchase tickets online or over the phone.
Easy and breezy. She is Samantha Martinson, and she is Laura Closer. Thank you so much for being here. And do you say break a leg to directors?
Yeah, good luck.
Okay. Well, don't think you say that. But good luck with, I just said it myself, but enjoy Dinner with the Duchess and thank you for bringing it to Milwaukee.
Thank you.
And thank you for hanging out with me on What's on Tap. And a big thank you to all of my guests, bonsai experts, Eric Bromser and Rick Walters, both very experienced in the Milwaukee Bonsai Society and Milwaukee Bonsai Foundation. And they are getting prepared for World Bonsai Day on Saturday at Linden Sculpture Museum and also at Berner Botanical Gardens. If you missed that conversation, you can always catch up on the podcast. It was a lot of fun talking with Eric and Rick and finding out that the Karate Kid movie has influenced a lot of people to get started with bonsai tree growing. And also thank you to Jim Playstead, Executive Director of Historic Third Ward Association, for the Third Ward Moon Festival official announcement here on What's on Tap. Circle your calendar. August 7, 8, and 9 is when we can enjoy a huge, nearly 25-foot in diameter inflatable moon to perform and enjoy and dance around for a big block party for 3 days in August. And thank you for listening. Also, a big thanks to Visit Milwaukee's Julia Meehan and artist Adam Heimbach. I'm very excited. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow at the New Fashioned at 11. Maybe we can swap some cheese tomorrow and get our scavenger hunt going. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, and I look forward to the next time we are together. Thanks for listening to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee.